these tidings to great Lucifer. Say Faustus doth surrender up his soul, so he will spare him 24 years to give me whatsoever I shall ask, to tell me whatsoever I demand, to slay mine enemies and aid my friends, and always be obedient to my will.
This is episode 92, and I'm going to be coming at you with the 1986 metal horror classic, Trick or Treat. It's also known as Ragman and Death at 33 RPM. Those are in the foreign markets. This movie's streaming on YouTube if you want to check it out. There's some good copies on there. Do check it out if you haven't seen this. But this one, it's a 1986 American supernatural horror film directed by Charles Martin Smith. Rhett Topham. I think that's how you say his name. The soundtrack is by the awesome band Fastway, and the composed music is Christopher Young. This came out October 24th, 1986. I had seen this that first weekend it came out, and I remember seeing the trailer for it and just like, oh my God, I need to see this movie. But let me play a trailer for you right now.
Rock and roll will never die, at least not this Halloween.
I've heard of raising spirits from the dead by incantations, right?
Yes.
I did that by playing a record backwards.
We are men, and they is you.
Sammy Kerr, he's a rock and roll nightmare.
I am a big fan of yours. I've got all your records.
Shut up! This message... coming for me.
Sammy Kerr. His fans won't let him die. He won't let them live.
You should be loyal to your hero. Make it turn on you.
Or treat. Looks like we better check out the party punch. Starring Mark Price from Family Ties, with special guest appearances by Ozzy Osbourne and Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Yeah, I mean, this movie's awesome. I mean, it's pretty much the story centers around a teenager who is haunted by the ghost of his rock hero. This also stars kind of cameos of Ozzy Osbourne and Gene Simmons. This stars Mark Price and Tony Fields. Those are pretty much your main two. Mark Price, Those of you who know, you 80s kids know Skippy from Family Ties. Tony Fields, I think he was a dancer and just turned actor or something like that. I can't really remember the story behind him. But this whole movie is pretty awesome. I mean, I love it. It's just about some rocker kid, Skippy. He goes by the name Ragman, or what the heck was his name in the movie? Eddie Weinbauer. Yeah, and he's just obsessed with his rock god Sammy Kerr. He kind of looks like a Nikki Six ripoff, but Eddie's just, as Halloween's coming up, and he's the loner, a loner rocker metal kid in high school. This was the 80s, so it's kind of like, the dress style. I mean, I never dressed like this. I was more of just a metal skateboarder kid. But he's the type of guy, like in the very beginning, it's just him walking through the halls at school and just living his life. And he's writing a letter to Sammy Kerr, telling him how he just feels lonely and out of place, and on all these other people, the jocks, the preppies, and all that, how they just always come down on him. This movie is also kind of like putting out the bully message on how the rich preppy kids are torturing Eddie Weinbauer right here. And he's, like I say, he's just a metalhead. And that bugged me a little. I remember sitting in the theater watching this. I had seen this before in high school. It never bothered me, because maybe because my brother went to school there before I did. And a lot of people knew him, so they knew who my brother was, and either they must have been scared of him or what. But they pretty much left me alone. But I did get into some confrontations with some of the older jocks and preppies there. But I mean, I felt Eddie's pain in the very beginning, and on how he felt. And I had seen it firsthand when I was in high school. So, but yeah, he's just the kid that everybody picks on. And he's just the metalhead, because nobody likes to listen to the metal music that he was listening. His Sammy Kerr was more of I guess the satanic side of metal. And there's a lot of bands out there which were good, but that's who he was listening to. So the rest of the story is he's talking about this, and while he's doing all this, Sammy Kerr, his idol, dies in a hotel fire. And when he finds out, he's just like devastated, and he just tears his room apart and all this. And he just feels just like the lowest of the low at this point, realizing that his rock god is gone. So he ends up going to the radio station, where the local DJ Nuke, that's played by Gene Simmons of Kiss. Gene Simmons is a good actor, and during the 80s, he popped up in a lot of things, as well as movies and TV. And I thought he always did a good job. He was always the bad guy, or just this cool rocker type of dude. But Nuke was telling him that, yeah, he was sad, and he realized that Eddie was sad, and he told him, he said, just, it's all right, man. He left us with a lot of good, great tunes. And Eddie was like, niggas, no one understands him but me. And he goes, we just had this connection. And Nuke was like, Eddie, you didn't know him. And Nuke knew him from the high school years. He said he was always angry. He was hurting. He was like that in high school. Eddie kind of just wasn't bothering it. So Nuke saw that he was really just not having it. So he kind of goes, hey, man, I want to give you something. He ends up giving Eddie this studio demo. It was the last record that Sammy Kerr has recorded. And it wasn't out in the public. Maybe later on the record company put it out. But he wanted him to have it. He goes, here, this is the only copy of his latest album. Here, you have it. I know he would want you to have it, so enjoy it. So Eddie runs home, throws it on on the turntable, and he starts playing it and listening to it. But as he's listening to it, he's kind of imagining, or he's getting these visions of the hotel fire. And we see Sammy Kerr like on fire. It looks like he's having like some kind of ritual, and then just maybe got out of control, or maybe Sammy Kerr wanted to die, and this is how he wanted to do it, by just burning himself to death. So all of a sudden you hear this music and everything in the background and this skipping. So he kind of wakes up and he realizes that his record is skipping. But he also heard some kind of backwards message. In the 80s, some of the music, they tried to do this gimmick of playing backwards messages in songs and all this. And just you never knew what it was. I mean, I know Iron Maiden did it and some other people did it. And it was just something, a gimmick to sell more records. And they kind of go into it in this. So he starts playing the record backwards and he's getting these messages from Sammy Kerr. And he's all happy and everything. And so he was just basically telling him that, yeah, he goes, play my music. And he goes, here, I'll help you get these bullies that are torturing you. So they come up with a plan. And Eddie just, he goes to school and sets up all these traps. And then he listens to the plan that Sammy Kerr gave him. So he's like, yeah, he goes, cool. So he ends up fucking up the preppy guys. I mean, in some of these scenes with these preppies, I don't know what they call them now, but in the 80s, they were preppies, the guy with the polo shirts and the topsiders and the cuffed up jeans and shit like that. I mean, you 80s kids know what I'm talking about, but. You younger listeners, I mean, that was just the style, because today's style, I have no idea what it is. But he ends up messing them all up in the metal shop. Oh, no. Was it the metal shop? No, it wasn't the metal shop. That's later on. He kind of gets these guys to the main bad guys, the main preppy boys that are chasing him. They make him. What the heck's his name? I guess his name is Tim, is the main leader of the hippie, not the hippie, the prep. Yeah, that's Doug Savant. I guess that's his real name. He's Tim Haney. He's the leader. It's him and like maybe three or four other dudes all prepped out. And they're the ones that are like constantly torturing Eddie. So he rigs up all these little booby traps and he through the school, and when he's running, he ends up being victorious and he's all super happy and he hauls ass home in his car. His car was badass. I couldn't tell you what kind of car it was, but it just sounded tough. It was a little beat up junker, but got him from A to B. So he went home and he was all happy and he started playing his record backwards and saying that we got him. And then it kind of came up with another plan on how to get him. So he just made this tape. It was a mixtape of the Sammy Kerr album, and he gave it to Tim. And but before all that, I'm jumping all over the place on this one. Then I know he got another confrontation with them during the metal shop, and Tim almost gets killed by one of the little metal machines. And they just kind of like, hey, man, you need to stay away from me because you're into some weird shit. And Eddie's just like super happy, like, oh, man, yeah, we're good and all this. And then while he's listening to more messages, backwards messages, they're like, Sammy Kerr's like, we need to kill all of them. And he's like, no, he Ragman didn't want to kill anyone. He just wanted to like just get back at them and hurt them or something, but not just like mess them up, but not kill them or anything. But Sammy Kerr had a different agenda for Eddie. And so Eddie was kind of like just not, hey, man, I kind of don't want to do this no more. But by then he was already too late into it. And Sammy Kerr was like, no, you have to listen to me or we're going to fuck them, kill them all. It just kind of shit like that. And Eddie's kind of like, well, I need to stop this. So he just like destroys the record, destroys his stereo system and all that. But then he realized that Nuke had told him that Sammy Kerr wanted Nuke to play that album on Halloween at midnight. So Eddie figured out that it was the record and the music that if it can be played somewhere, that's how Sammy Kerr can come back. So he realized that I needed to destroy that mixtape that I gave Tim. I need to go destroy. No, at this time he didn't realize about the track that Nuke recorded at the radio station. So Eddie's just slowly trying to just get it under control of all this. But he during all the process, he gets grounded by his mom and everything. And I'm jumping everywhere. The tape. He wanted to get the mixtape he gave to Tim back. So he sends his buddy Raj to go get it. And then Raj get it. And he goes, once you get the tape, just destroy it. But Raj, he's like, oh, okay, whatever. He ends up stealing the tape from Tim out of his car. And then he kind of goes home. And he should have just broke it right there. And that would have been the end of it. But no, Roger takes it home. He puts it in and starts playing it. And then Sammy Kerr comes and tells him, like, hey, you need to play my tape for me at the dance tonight, the Halloween dance tonight. So Roger's kind of freaked out. So Ragman's at home just doing Halloween stuff, handing out candy, trick or treat. Roger's at the dance, and he ends up playing the tape. And then there's a band about to play. I can't remember what the Kickers or something like that, something stupid. So the band's gonna come on, but Roger ended up playing the tape at the dance for a little bit before one of the jocks or whatever came over and took the tape out. But by then it was already played, so Sammy Kerr was out. But it was kind of stupid, because when the tape that he recorded, it was all going backwards. So when he put the tape in and started playing it, and there was another scene where Ragman was listening to it driving down the street, hella happy after he took out the Preppy Boys. And the tape was playing backwards, and he was rocking out. And I was like, all right. I mean, if you know Mark Price, he's Skippy. I mean, that's all you can see when you see this movie. But he's trying to be this tough rocker, metalhead kid. But you just can't buy it. He's always going to be Skippy. He goes by Mark Skippy Price. So he's loving that. He's not one of some of these actors that like get mad if you call him something, a nickname from a movie or a TV show they're in. But he embraces it. So he's pretty cool. I've never met him, but people that have met him, they say he's really sweet and he's an awesome guy. So anyway, so the tape plays already. Sammy Kerr gets out. He came through the airwaves. I assume it was something like that. So the band's getting ready to come on. All of a sudden there's like some feedback. So the guy goes over to his guitar amp, and he's trying to fix it. And then this hand comes out of the amplifier, and there's this big puff of smoke, and the guitar goes flying in the air. And then when the guitar comes down, Sammy Kerr's standing right there, and he catches it. During all this other stuff, when Ragman was dealing with his backwards record, Sammy Kerr came out and would talk to him. And he also came out and talked to Raj. So that's how Raj was able to play the tape for him, because he didn't want to get killed, because Raj didn't really know what was going on. Eddie tried to tell him what was happening, but Roger wasn't buying it. So, but it was too late now. Sammy Kerr was loose. Roger was like, oh fuck. And he realized that he had fucked up. So I always loved the music of Fast Way in this, the soundtrack in the beginning and the end, and throughout they would play some Fast Way songs. I thought it was cool. And this song was pretty cool. It's, I assume it's the main track on the Trick or Treat soundtrack album. And the song is just called Trick or Treat. But so Sammy Kerr goes into this performance of the song Trick or Treat, rocking out. Everybody in the high school's rocking out at the dance. Let me go back a little bit. Sammy Kerr was supposed to perform for the dance at the school, but then all the school board and the parents, they just didn't like Sammy Kerr's message, just the satanic stuff and the sexual things that are going on in his music. They just didn't want to, just kind of wanted to not have to deal with him or do anything with him because of his image. And back in those days in the 80s, and it still goes on today, man, Marilyn Manson, people didn't like his music or like his appearance or some of the stuff that he was singing about. I mean, he's just a character, and that's I don't know about this guy. I think Sammy Kerr, that's how he was. But the song's rocking out, and everyone's going strong, and then all of a sudden he just starts to shoot the lightning bolts out of his guitar and start killing people in the crowd, kills all his band and everything. And it's funny. It's a cool little rocking episode or rocking scene. But the thing about this is Tony Fields, he either just didn't learn the song, but he's doing like a shitty lip syncing job to this song, to this awesome song. But it's funny. Check it out if you guys haven't seen it. So anyway, so he kills all his band, starts killing everybody. Everybody's running. All hell's breaking loose in the gym. And he's just like blowing people up and everything. And it's funny. So he gets out and everyone's, the fire department comes. The police come. They're trying to get out. Ragman shows up because his friend, Leslie, that was the girl that he liked in the movie. She calls him, hey, where are you? And he goes, oh, I'm at home. And then he hears this is before the musical performance. He hears the music tape playing. He goes, hey, what is that? And what's that music? Is, I don't know, something Roger played. So he just hauls ass and tries to get to school. And then when he has, his car comes to life because, Sammy Kirk can come through the music and everything. Cause then when he jumps in his car, he turns it on, he realizes that his tape is in there too. So Sammy Kirk comes through that, takes control of the car and kind of just crashes. So he's running basically from one end of town all the way to the other side to the high school. By the time he gets there, the cops and the ambulances and everybody are there. So he's like, what happened? He finds Leslie. She goes, I don't know. And he runs into Roger and he's like, well, where's the tape, man? He goes, oh, it's in there. So he ends up, Ragman runs in there, finds the tape, destroys it. But it's already too late. Sammy Kerr's on the loose. So he's just like, okay, I need to try to get out of here. He comes face to face with Sammy Kerr. And he's just like, Sammy Kerr, like, you did me dirty. And then now I'm going to kill you. And then it's just some crazy showdown. But the only way they can kind of do it is like, cut the power. If you killed all the power in the school, Sammy Kerr would disappear. So Roger gets this metal crowbar and just jams it into this power box, and the whole school's power goes out and Sammy Kerr disappears. They think Roger's dead, but no, he's still alive. So they realize, oh man, we need to get to the radio station and destroy the tape that Nuke made. So they don't have a car. He goes, well, we can go home and get my mom's car. So they kind of rush home back to Eddie's house, Ragman. And I keep going back and forth calling him Eddie and Ragman. They go back to his house. He gets his mom's car. But then I can't remember. Sammy Kerr came through somehow through the – oh, no, there was a little transistor radio in the in his bathroom. It was his hanging there because he kind of destroyed all the other radios and electrical appliances for something that could get some kind of radio frequency. I don't know about a toaster and all that, but he didn't realize he had this little transistor radio in the bathroom. It's already midnight, past midnight, and the last Sammy Kerr album starts playing at the radio station. It's on a timer, so at midnight it just automatically came on and started playing. So the music's playing and Eddie's just like, oh shit. So he realizes, he hears this loud kind of boom upstairs. He goes upstairs and realizes that he came out of that little transistor radio. And this scene was kind of stupid, but Sammy Kerr is trying to get him and Ragman and Leslie, but he kind of like slips and Sammy Kerr's hand falls into the toilet, and you know, electricity and water. I don't know what they were thinking when they did this part, but he's like, he seems like his hand is stuck in the toilet, and I don't know. It's just a stupid scene, but. They end up getting away and they haul ass to the radio station, and he tells Ragman tells Leslie, look, count it to 100 or whatever. And then after you get to 100, run into the radio station and just destroy the tape and the whole whole radio room or whatever, the recording studio or whatever. It was a reel-to-reel, so just go in there and destroy all that. So Eddie gets this little radio. He jumps in the police car that they stole earlier from a cop at Eddie's house. It was just a stupid scene. But so Eddie's in there. He turns on the radio and he just starts calling Sammy Kerr, like, "Hey, where are you, man? Come on. You're Rock's chosen warrior. You're nothing but a fucking fake punk poser or whatever." And then Sammy Kerr comes out of the radio and he's in the back seat, and you know the police cars have a little gate so he can't get through. And Eddie's like, he's like hauling ass down the road, and Sammy Kerr is trying to get him. And he goes to this bridge, and it's like, I think they were doing construction or something because the bridge is not there. So he just drives the car off into the water, and then that's the water and the electricity of Sammy Kerr disappears, and that's pretty much the end of him. So he gets up. You just kind of just don't see. You see the car go underwater, and you don't see anything. So Eddie kind of comes swimming back up, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm alive," and all that. He goes back. He walks back to the radio station, which is probably 20 miles away from where he was at. But he gets there. Leslie's there. They hug and they kiss and all this, and that's pretty much the end of your movie, because the Ragman ends up killing Sammy Kerr, and the earlier in the movie, when Gene Simmons came on the air, he would go, "Wake up, sleepyheads, it's party time," and get into his whole little DJ spiel. And at the end of this one, Ragman gets on the mic and says, "Wake up, sleepyheads, it's party time," and then the movie's over. This movie's awesome. I mean, it's just total 80s cheese, and Mark Skippy Price, he's awesome in this. This movie was directed by Charles Martin Smith. You might know him, and he's also acted. I know he was in American Graffiti. He was in John Carpenter's Starman, The Untouchables, a bunch of stuff on TV. And he is also in this movie. He plays the principal, and the principal gets killed during the concert at the high school when Sammy Kerr starts shooting everyone, shooting lightning bolts out of his guitar and killing everyone. But this is an awesome movie. It's not very long. It's all streaming on YouTube and everything. So, but yeah, do check this out. Ozzy and Gene Simmons are in it. Ozzy's actually a priest talking on some kind of talk show, talking about how the metal music is the devil, and it's teaching our bad kids sexual references and this and all this. I mean, it's funny. It was some scene that they got Ozzy to do. From what I understand, this was during all Ozzy's drug days. So I guess someone said, "Oh, he only did it to get money for drugs." He didn't need to do this to get money for drugs. He's Ozzy. He already had money, but I don't know. That's just what people say on the internet. But this movie's awesome. Do check it out. Like I said, it is cheesy and everything, but the music is awesome. Fastway. The whole soundtrack is good. And that's going to be it for this episode. And that's going to be it for my October Halloween Havocs. Hey, everyone, thank you for listening to all the shows that I put out this month. And thanks to Jesse and Theo and Mike, Mark Patton from Freddy's Revenge, and the director from Witchboard. What the hell's his name? I'm sorry. Tannini. I remember that was his last day. But the interview I did with him at the con and everything. Thanks so much, everybody. And everyone, thank you all for listening. And I'm going to get out of here and try to put this all together for you guys. So, hey, man, just live your dreams. Take care of one another. Rock hard like the Ragman, and always skate fast. Oh, before I go, I forgot to talk about the awesome little masturbation scene. that tape that Eddie made for Tim. Tim just took it and kind of just threw it in his tapes in his car. And Tim and his girlfriend are out making out in the woods somewhere. And he has to get out and take a piss. So he gets out of the car and she like just puts on his headphones, finds this tape. It's all mysterious looking. It looks silver. So she just kind of, it's not labeled. So she just throws it into the headphone, the old school Walkman, puts it on, starts listening to it. And then this kind of crazy music, kind of rock music kind of, but just real mellow, slow type of stuff. And it's kind of hypnotizing, I guess. And then next thing you know, she starts kind of unbuttoning her blouse. And out of the headphones, there's this green glow. And this little animated smoke or whatever comes out and turns into like it looks like a hand, and it looks like it's touching her. And so she's her blouse opens automatically, like magically. I assume the ghost or whatever it is that came out of the headphones unbuttoned her shirt, unbuttons her bra. She flashes and sees everything, and then her hands start going downtown, and then you just see her head go back, and looks like she's doing you know what downstairs. And then she kind of like opens her eyes, and there's this big lizard demon monster right in front of her with this long tongue, and she just screams, and then the camera goes outside. You see the car shake, and then Tim comes back to the car. I don't know where he went to take a piss. It looks like he must have walked far away from the car. He comes back because he doesn't hear her screaming and seeing the car shaking. He comes back. He sees there's smoke in there. He sees her and he's like, oh, what's going on? And then when he takes the headphones away from her ears, it's all I thought it looks like they just like put Vaseline or something sticky on her ears. But it looks like the headphones melted her ears. So he just like, he runs and takes her to the hospital. He goes to Eddie's house and tells him, hey, you're into some weird shit, man. I don't know what you're doing, but you need to stay away from me. And I can't, whatever. My girlfriend's in the hospital. What did you do to that tape? And Eddie just like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I just realized that I forgot. I left out that scene. So and someone probably screaming at me, hey, you didn't talk about the masturbation scene. I just remembered, so I'm putting in for you guys. So, all right, that's the end of this episode. Hey, again, everyone, thanks. Rock hard, skate fast, and you know all that. Yeah. Happy Halloween.